Amen. Book of Jonah, please, chapter 3. And our text is the second verse. Maybe this is the word of the Lord to the heart of some young person in the meeting. Jonah 3, verse 2. Arise, go on to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. The words at the second half of the verse especially, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. In our studies so far, we've had several views of Jonah as we have made our way through the record found in this book. So far we've seen Jonah fleeing when he ran away from the Lord, ran away from the Lord's will. We saw him sleeping. Saw that even as a picture of the church. Sometimes it can be a description of the child of God. We saw him as well when he was drowning. Do you remember they threw him over the side, into the ocean, into the stormy sea, in order to calm the storm, that the waves might be stilled. And we saw him praying too. We saw a view of Jonah on his knees, praying in the most unusual of places, down there in the depths, in the fish's belly. So there have been many views of this man that we've had. And the view that we have today is one of Jonah preaching. And I want to emphasize that to you, brethren and sisters. I want you to remember, never forget, Jonah was a preacher of the Word of God. He is described, and we often ourselves describe him in this way, as Jonah the prophet. The idea of a prophet is a man that tells forth the word of God. And I say to you this morning, brethren and sisters, that is the great need today of our land. We need a prophet to be raised up for God, even in our midst. And I want to emphasize to you, as we think of Jonah's preaching, the result of it. The result of Jonah's preaching in Nineveh was revival. What a mercy that was. The Saviour said, when he spoke about Jonah, the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, made reference to this man. And that's a very important reference that the Lord Jesus made. It emphasises the reality of Jonah's life and ministry. We have the testimony of Christ that Jonah was a real man. And when the Lord Jesus was here, he said of Jonah, they repented at the preaching. He actually used that word. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. You see, his work and his message was owned of God. And we need to cry, brethren and sisters, it might be the same for us in this city and in this district. The message of the gospel as it goes out, that God would own it in a very definite way. I want you to learn, brethren and sisters, as we think of Jonah the preacher, I want us to re-emphasize this morning the importance of preaching in the purposes of God. That's something I want to underline and stress in the meeting this morning. In many circles, even in many so-called Christian circles, preaching has gone out of fashion. But I want to urge you never to belittle the preaching of God's word, never to despise the preacher, and never despise the preaching of the scriptures. This is God's ordained method for the spread of his word. This is God's ordained method for the winning of souls. Isn't that what Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthians? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. See, in the eyes of the world, this is a very foolish method for getting out the message. But the Bible says, it assures us, it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the sad thing is today, in many churches, in many meetings even that will be held, the preacher's set aside and they want to introduce other things such as drama. The preacher must give way to the actor. The pulpit must give way to the platform. They want to make the church into a center for entertainment. And how sad the day is in which we live. Always remember, men and women, the pulpit is in the middle of the building, not set to the side as it is in many Anglican buildings, churches and cathedrals. The pulpit is in the middle because the preaching of the Word of God is central. It's central to the worship that we engage in. It's central to the very act of worship that we're here as a body of God's people to perform. The pulpit is elevated. We could get a little message even talking about the pulpit. And Ezra talks about him standing on a pulpit of wood. Maybe someday we'll take a little look at that. But the pulpit in the center, the pulpit is elevated as well. And it's elevated not to elevate the man, but it's elevated to elevate the word, to elevate the office of the ministry, the office of the preacher. It's elevated to elevate the work that goes on from this pulpit from Sabbath to Sabbath. The importance, the primacy of preaching in the ministry of the church. And I want to remind you of that in the message this morning. The importance of the preaching of the Word of God. And I want us just to look for a few minutes at Jonah the preacher and some lessons that we can learn from him about preaching, preaching the gospel and preaching the scriptures. I want you to notice first of all where he preached. If you look there at verse 4, just a little down the chapter, it says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Think of the words, he began to enter into the city. Where did Jonah preach? Well, it wasn't in a hall, not in the town hall, not in the community center. He didn't preach in a building of any kind. What that means is, and what I'd like you to see, is that Jonah was an open-air preacher. Jonah preached in the streets. Jonah declared his message in the markets, in the squares, and on the street corners. And brethren and sisters, we need to remember this morning, we need to learn, we're not just to preach the gospel in the church buildings. Sometimes we can get very comfortable in our buildings. We don't want to be disturbed in our comfort, don't want to go any further. But we're not just to preach the gospel in our churches, in our tents, in our halls. The Bible says we're to go out. We're to go out into the highways and the hedges, out into the rural places, out into the open air, as we describe it, and preach the gospel, compel them to come in. I want you to see afresh this morning how necessary, how profitable, how scriptural open air preaching really is. You think of the ministry of the Lord Jesus and what a preacher he was. The Bible says, "Never man spake like this man." It says that he spake as one with authority. Focus on the ministry of Christ. And remember that the Savior primarily was an open-air preacher. Think of the Sermon on the Mount. His pulpit and his auditorium, it was the mountainside. You remember the time that he was down by the Sea of Galilee and the ship was his pulpit? The crowd was so great that they stood on the shore and he got into the ship and they took it out from the shore a little distance. Christ was primarily an open-air preacher. Couldn't the same be said of Paul the Apostle? You remember when he was in Athens, for example, that he preached in the open air? We're told that in the markets daily, he was out there among the people, where the people gathered, declaring the gospel. The greatest example of Paul preaching in the open air in Athens is when he stood on Mars Hill and the great gathering that he had and how he declared the scriptures and spoke of Christ. Think of John Wesley. Do you know John Wesley started out his ministry in the Anglican Church and they didn't want his ministry in the Anglican Church. They didn't want to hear the gospel. It's not a sad thing. They actually put him out of the churches. They didn't allow him to preach any more from their pulpits. But you know what John Wesley said? "Henceforth the world shall be my parish." You see, the Lord overruled and it fell out to the furtherance of the gospel. He became one of the greatest open-air preachers ever. You think of George Whitefield. The same could be said of Whitefield. It was actually Whitefield that led the way Wesley was a little reluctant in getting into open-air preaching. The Lord had to force Wesley into that ministry, but Whitfield led the way. He was one of the greatest open-air preachers ever. The buildings wouldn't hold the crowds that were coming to hear George Whitfield. Did you know that at Moorfields, up to 20,000 people gathered to hear him preach the Word of God? Whitfield had a powerful voice. His voice could be heard up to half a mile away. Benjamin Franklin, whenever Whitfield was preaching on the steps of the courthouse in Philadelphia, he just kept going down the street a little further to hear how far away he would have to be before he could stop hearing the voice of the preacher. And he was half a mile away when he couldn't hear Whitfield preach any longer. What a man he was. What a ministry he engaged in. You think of Edward Carson, the Unionist leader in this country 100 years ago, the Unionist leader at the time of the signing of the Covenant. Carson, known for his political speeches, known for his legal arguments. But did you know that when he was a student studying in the city of Dublin, on Sunday evenings, Edward Carson was often found on the street corners preaching the gospel of Christ? I remember as a student in the college, in the year 1990, we were engaged in outreach with the Tully Vallon Church down in the needy areas of South Armagh and even over the border. We'd go into little towns, 2 or 3 a day. We would hold an open-air meeting. And whenever one of the fellas was preaching, the rest would go round the doors and knock the doors and speak to the people. One of those open-air meetings was held down in Collyhanna, very notorious place. The monument to the IRA down in that place. When we were in Collyhanna and we started the open air, they came out and started to shout Brits out. They started to throw down like firecrackers that were like gunshots going off. Places that were smoke rising here and there around us. But the fellas carried on with the open air. Some of them went around the doors and spoke to the people about the Saviour. Open air preaching, men and women. I want to emphasize it to you. I want to impress it upon your hearts this morning. And remember that many people, I think we could even say that multitudes, have been saved by open-air services. Think of Billy Sunday, the very famous American evangelist. One Sunday afternoon, Billy Sunday came out of a saloon, what we would call a public house. And as he came out of that saloon with his friends, remember he's a very famous baseball player, well known, lots of money. He came out of that saloon with his friends and he could hear the sounds of an open-air gospel meeting. They were singing the gospel hymns and they began to read and preach the word of God. And that gospel open-air touched his heart. It made him remember his upbringing, the things that his mother had taught him as a boy. And it was that gospel open-air that brought the great Billy Sunday, the saving faith in Jesus Christ. God can use mightily the open-air preaching. And I want to urge you, men and women, I want to urge you this morning, we need to go out with the gospel. We need to go out to where the people are. You think of the March of Witness we held as a church back in the month of October. We had a very good open-air service down there in the centre of Armagh. The location we had, it couldn't have been any better. We'd like it to be an annual event. We'd like you to join us this coming year. Do your best to remember the time. It's in the calendar of events. Set that afternoon aside and plan to be there. Publicly take your stand for the gospel in your own city and in your own locality. And I want you to pray as well that God would give us other opportunities for the public preaching of his word. Isn't it sad, brethren and sisters, that they're trying to clamp down on the open-air meetings? It's more difficult now to organize an open-air meeting than it has ever been. You need the approval of the authorities if you're going to hold a public meeting, an open-air service. Do you know the reality? The devil knows how effective an open-air meeting can be, and he wants to do all that he can to hinder that witness for the gospel. We have seen Jonah on his back. We have seen Jonah on his knees. We saw him on his back when he was sleeping on the ship. We saw him on his knees down in the belly of the fish. Well, here you see him on his feet. He's serving Christ. He's out carrying the gospel forth. He's preaching the word. And I want to say to you, brethren and sisters, let us be the same. Did you know, did you ever think of it, that the preacher has very beautiful feet? Don't know whether you ever noticed, ever took a look. That's what the Bible says. Think of the words found in the book of Isaiah. They're quoted again in the book of Romans in the New Testament. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The preacher has beautiful feet. Do you know why they're beautiful? Because of how they're being used in the service of Christ for the spread of the gospel. Can I ask you this morning, how are you using your feet? How have you used them in this past week? What places, what sort of work, what sort of activity has your feet been engaged in? Can I ask you, will you be with us on Saturday the 23rd of this month? Just a little under 2 weeks, going out into the community. Will you be with us that Saturday morning to carry the gospel into this city and into this district? I want you to see where Jonah preached. I want you to see as well what he preached. If you look at verse 2, again of the chapter, it ends with the words, "And preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." You see, what Jonah preached was God's word. He preached God's message and nothing else. He was like Haggai, another one of those mentioned in the minor prophets, the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message. It's simple, men and women, and yet it's all instructive. I have to say to you today, it's all important. The lesson is that revival came by the faithful preaching of God's word. I'd like you to get a hold of that today. This is the pathway to revival, men and women. The sound, faithful preaching of the gospel. Not some of the modern gimmicks and stunts that you often see even in evangelical churches. A church in the United States of America, do you know what they did to get the crowds in, to pull the people? They advertised in the paper that the pastor would swallow 72 goldfish at the evening service. Isn't it sad? It's even pathetic. The stunts, the gimmicks, the churches will pull in order to bring in a crowd. Do you know what has happened, men and women? In many places, the church has become a circus. It's become a circus. Edwards, Jonathan Edwards in North America, he saw revival, men and women, something that few of us know anything about. And he saw it by the faithful preaching of God's word. That famous message known by most in church circles to this day, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And brethren and sisters, if we want that blessing, if we want to see revival, we need to preach the word of God. Here is the supreme task of the church. Here's the supreme task of the Christian ministry. Didn't the apostles say, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word? That's what's needed, men and women. Let us never be diverted from that great task. You think of what is recorded of the days of Amos. There was a famine of the hearing of the word of God. Not a famine of the preaching. There was still plenty of preaching, and that's still true in our day. Not a famine of the preaching. There was a famine of the hearing. Do you know what that means, men and women? There was no ear for the Bible. No ear for the word of God. No ear for the gospel. And it's sad to say, if we're honest this morning, we live in such a time. That's why so many will not be at church today. That's why so many will be in the hotels and the clubs and the pubs. It's because there's no ear, men and women. There's no ear today for the proclamation of God's word in our land. Paul said, writing to Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Has that time not come already? They'll not endure sound doctrine. That can be true even in some of our churches, you know. People don't want to hear sound doctrine. The time will come, they'll want fables. They'll want theories. They'll want notions. They'll want people's opinions. He went on to say, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Do you know a good question this morning? What sort of ears do you have? Have you an ear for the word? Or have you itching ears? You don't want to hear good sound doctrine preached, but you're like those that you read of in Athens. They want to hear some new thing. Some new thing. Can I ask you, men and women, do you have an ear for the television? Is that the sort of appetite of hearing you have? An ear for sport, an ear for politics, an ear for news, maybe an ear for gossip. Well, what about the Bible? Do you have an ear for God's voice? Do you have an ear today for God's word? Do you know many times in the New Testament you have those words, he that hears to hear, let him hear. God has blessed you with hearing. What a blessing that is. How are you using it? Are you using it well? Are you listening to the right things? The Bible says, take heed what you hear. Are you listening to the right things, child of God? The little words of the chorus, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Are you listening today for God's voice? What do we preach, brethren and sisters? We preach the word of God. And remember, we're to preach it even when it's not popular to preach it. Isn't it true it's not popular today to preach against sin? It's not popular today to preach against sodomy. In fact, you could get yourself into trouble if you preached against sodomy. Think of what is happening in our land. This great talk about the need for equality, the vote that's taking place. It's only the thin edge of the wedge. It'll soon get to the place that these things will be outlawed. You'll not be able to speak as we ought to speak against such things. Remember, we're to preach in season and out of season. We're to preach, men and women, even when people don't want to hear the message that we have to preach. There's a story, I'm not sure if I told you it before. A Church of England minister, he was reported to his bishop. And you know the accusation that was brought against him? He was preaching the gospel too often. You wouldn't find that problem too much in the Anglican Church today, preaching the gospel too often. When he was brought before the bishop to answer for the charge, the bishop asked him, how often do you preach the gospel? How many times a year? He said, just twice, sir. Well, the bishop was a little taken back because of the reports, the charge that had been brought. You only preach the gospel twice a year. He says, that's right, sir, in season and out of season. Just as the passage that we read from this morning. Think of it, men and women. Here's a vital question. Why are we to preach the word? Why is that to be our message? It's because of its power. The book of Hebrews says the word of God is quick and powerful. The Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, God's word is the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. The Bible's a powerful book. Men feel the power of the word. It's only the word that has the power to speak, and only the word that has the power to convert the soul, the word of the Lord. You read Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's only this book that can do that work of conversion. Men feel the power of this word. You may be familiar with the name of Sir Ian McKellen, famous actor in this country. He's a sodomite. I saw an article recently when I was doing a little reading, and it said that whenever he stays in a hotel, do you know what he does? He takes the Bible, the Gideon's Bible, found in the hotel room, and he tears the pages of Leviticus chapter 18 out of the Bible. That's the chapter in Leviticus that deals with sodomy. Tears it out of the Bible. And he encourages others to do the same. It's actually well known across the world. people of the same persuasion, other Sodomites, when they stay in hotel rooms, they tear the same pages out of the Bible and they post them to him. And they say such vile things as you can use this paper in the smallest room in your house. It's not grieving, men and women. That's where our land is going. That's where our government is taking us. Can I ask you this morning to think, why would he do that? A man that hates the Bible, a man that says he doesn't believe the Bible, why would he do such a thing? I think there's only one answer to it. Regardless of what he says, he feels the power of the word and he wants to destroy it. Even in such an outrageous manner, he wants to destroy the word of God. The power of the scriptures, men and women, never forget it. It's this book that spoke to Nineveh. It's this word that spoke in Nineveh. And it's this word, men and women, that will speak in our own land and speak in our own day. And we need to preach it. We need to proclaim it with all our heart, with all our soul. And you know something? We need to pray that God will increase our faith in the Bible, in the power of the word of God. It's sad, be honest this morning, we don't have the faith in this book that we ought. Isn't that right? We don't have the faith in the preaching of this word that we ought. We need to pray the Lord will increase our faith as a band of his people. Where he preached and what he preached. Just quickly, why he preached. Well, he preached for this vital reason. Because God wants people to hear his word. It's not a great mercy, a great blessing. The book of Romans says, faith cometh by hearing. If souls are to be saved, they need to hear the word of God. The book of Romans says, how shall they hear without a preacher? I pray the young men, the young women of the church will take that verse upon their heart today. How will lost souls hear without a preacher? The great need is for preachers. If people are ever to hear of Christ, if they're ever to hear the way to heaven, someone must go and tell them. Will you do it? The Lord said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Will you reply? Will you answer, here am I, Lord? Sent me. And remember that God sent Jonah to preach in Nineveh because the people needed to hear the message of God. There were some vital truths that the people of that city needed to hear. They needed to hear about God's judgment. Verse 4, Nineveh shall be overthrown. See that word overthrown? It's the same word that's used of Sodom away back in the book of Genesis. And you know the sad thing, men and women? If Mr. Cameron and our government are not careful, by their actions, this nation of ours will be overthrown too by the hand and judgment of God. Sodom was overthrown. Genesis says, and he overthrew those cities. And that's what God was going to do in Nineveh. The idea is the city of Nineveh would be destroyed. Perhaps in exactly the same way that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah those many centuries before. Do you know what Jonah was preaching? He was preaching judgment to come. He's saying God's going to punish. God's going to judge you for your sins. He preached judgment. And remember that others did the same. Didn't John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, declare, flee from the wrath that is to come? You see, men and women, people need to hear about the wrath of God. There was a man, Glendinning, an early Presbyterian minister, in this province. He was used to bring revival. There's what is known as the 6 Mile Water Revival in this province. And Glendinning was the man that the Lord used as his instrument. He was an unusual character. He wasn't just completely of a sound mind. And he only preached the themes of law and wrath. But God used them. You see, there's a time for the preaching of the wrath and of the law of God. Today they say don't preach on wrath. Don't preach on hell. You might scare the people. You might put them off coming to church. Don't take up those things. But you know, men and women, that would be wrong. We need to be faithful. We need to warn men and women of their danger. Can I give you an example of that? Last night, Willie Fraser's house down in Market Hill was set on fire. It's in the news this morning. A police patrol that was passing along the road saw the fire. And they went down and they wakened the family and delivered them from their danger. Now, can I ask you, would it have been right for the police to say, we don't really want to scare the family? You don't want to really alarm them. We'll just go quietly on. Of course, that would not have been the right thing to do. Those in danger, men and women, they need to be warned of that danger. And it's the same with souls. They too need to be warned of the awful danger that they face. Have you done it? Are you doing it? The souls around you, are you warning them? He preached of the judgment of God. But the people in Nineveh needed to hear about the mercy of God as well. You will ask me, where is God's mercy in Jonah's message? Well, he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What you learn there, men and women, is that God delayed his judgment. Here's his mercy. Can I say to you, by the way, one of the greatest studies in the Bible is the study of biblical numbers. Bullinger's Bible, the Companion Bible, there's very profitable appendices at the back of that Bible that will help you in your study generally, but there's one of those appendices that deals with biblical numbers. It was a favourite study of Dr. Paisley's. In the book of Jonah, the number 3 and the number 40 are very prominent. 3 days and 40 days. I'd urge you to study those things. You think of those words, yet 40 days. Do you know what Jonah was saying? There's still time to be saved. There's still time and opportunity to repent. Think of that, men and women. God is a God of mercy. The Bible says his mercy endureth forever. And what a message that is to proclaim. The vastness of the mercy of our God, it endureth forever. Can I say to the unsaved people in this meeting, can I speak to you personally for a moment? God has been merciful to you. God has given you time, so many times, so many opportunities to be saved. Can I ask you, will you be saved today? Will you come to Christ this Sabbath morning? This is why Jonah had to preach, men and women. The people needed to hear. And this is why we need to preach as well. Our generation needs to hear the message of the Bible. If there's one thing above all else, with all the nonsense and all the opinions that are set forth in the press and by politicians, in this sad day of apostasy in which we live, if there's one thing that is more needful than ever it has been before, men and women, it is for the clear and the sound preaching of the Word of God, the proclamation of the Gospel. It's the only thing that will save this land, and it's the only thing that will turn it again to God. Can I put out the appeal today? Will you go to be a preacher? Will you go to work for God? Remember, men and women, if our land doesn't hear, we will fail in our duty. And one day you will have to answer to God for that, as I will as well. The Bible says, his blood will I require at thine hand. A day of reckoning, a day of accounting still lies before us. Can I say this to you as a close? The great city of Glasgow, and I know that some of you like to travel there from time to time for the football matches. The motto of the great city of Glasgow was the words, let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of the word. Is that a great motto, men and women? Do you know the sad thing is they've shortened it today. They just use the words, let Glasgow flourish. They've taken away the reference to the preaching of the Word of God. But is that not characteristic and true of our land as a whole? They're getting away. They're forgetting the importance of the preaching of the Bible. I pray, men and women, the Lord will burn that truth into your hearts this Sabbath morning. This is the only way that any town, this is the only way that any church, this is the only way that any land will flourish. It will only do so by the preaching of God's word. It's the way that Nineveh flourished and was blessed. And it's still the same today. It'll still be the same in this city of Armagh. The preaching of Jonah. The Lord said, arise, go on to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. I pray the Lord will bless this message to your hearts this morning.